Hello, welcome to the Rebel Room post-game edition, taking this show on the road for the first time. Ryan Green, Rob Misch. Robbie, how you doing?
Stellar. Hello, everybody.
Stellar.
Game went to plan. Did I not tell you so?
Yeah, you did. No. You called for the double-digit victory. I was the one who said they aren't going to win this game when they were down by 13.
You got flummoxed.
I guess your veteran leadership really showed tonight on press row.
I've been in this barn before. I've been in this city before, and it's nothing to sneeze at.
It was not your first rodeo. It was my first El Paso rodeo, and I got jaded.
Giddy up.
Well, we're here to talk about the Rebels' 80-67 victory over University of Texas, El Paso, UTEP. For those of you hip with the jive, a victory which improves the Rebels to 5-0 on the season. They are now... Game-wise, they are off for a few days before taking on Cal, and then either Cincinnati or Florida State Saturday. They will be practicing a couple times in between there while enjoying some turkey and stuffing and fixings over at the Kruger household. But let's talk about the game tonight. There's some pretty obvious things for anybody that watched this game that really stand out, and pretty much all of them have to do with the backcourt.
Yep. Basically, kind of comes down to the last half of the second half with Trayvon Willis and Oscar Belfield occupying the court at the same time. It's worked in the past, and it worked again tonight, and Kruger will not hesitate to go to it again. He'll go with what works, and he unapologetically, after the game, I asked him, is that something, how does he want to use those two together? Does he want to use that sparingly in certain spots at certain times? And he just said, we don't care. He will use whoever is playing well and who deserves the minutes and who deserves to be on the floor. And that's what we saw tonight, and that kind of proved the difference. Trayvon and Oscar were on the court when UNLV had a 5-point lead. They were on the whole rest of the way, and it was a 13-point victory, and it had a lot to do with those two guys, their smart heads-up play, their defensive hounding ability, their handling of the ball, and coupled with throw them in with Wink Adams, and that's a tough three-headed guard.
Hmm. But to get a little more specific too, with Belfield and Willis in that second half in particular, you know, Willis hit 7 of 8 free throw tries in the final 8 minutes of the game. Not only did a good job of getting the line, but did a good job of hitting them.
Which UTEP did not.
Not at all. 16 of 27.
And for anybody who watched that game on TV, I guess there should be widespread apologies, because that was sluggish and slow, and that had to have been as difficult to watch on TV as it was for us live.
Well, UNLV was able to pretty it up for short spurts, and that's really where they made their differences. And in the second half, one of those spurts, I think, pretty much solely, almost solely, involved Oscar Belfield. First, with UNLV only up by one, takes a charge from Gabriel McCauley down the baseline. He was going skying in for a dunk to try to put him up. Actually, he put in a layup that looked like an and-one, and it was called a charge. Mm-hmm. Belfield took a monster charge on that.
We actually thought, watching it live, and in the blur of the live action, thought it maybe was Rougeau.
Maybe Masamba.
It was just a flurry of bodies, and then we see the replay. It was the kid in the T-shirt who's the new guard, Oscar Belfield. What a gutsy guy.
Yeah, it was, and you know, that one was really big, because not only did that really get the crowd riled up, they wanted the blocking call real bad, but then Oscar really did nothing but feed off of it. He goes down on the other end, hits a really tough layup, then off of a UTEP miss, they were trying to make up for the lost bucket. And he comes down, cashes a three from straight on, and then holds three fingers in the air, waves him around a little bit. He's got that little cocky streak that he flashes here and there. And boy, he picked the right time to use it, because he certainly deserved to at that point.
He did. He's feeling his oats a bit, and he deserves to do that, because between him and Trayvon, the new guards, in their first 5 games, they've learned a lot, and it's been an invaluable experience, and that's only going to be a huge benefit. And the fact that they're 5-0, I think, is invaluable to those kids.
Well, we'll talk some more about that backcourt first. Let's pass it on to some post-game audio from Lon Kruger, Oscar Belfield, Trayvon Willis, Wink Adams. Hear what they had to say looking back on tonight's 80-67 victory.
Trey did a really good job. I thought he really, as he's been doing, covered the ball really well, made some good plays, attacked the rim there a couple times at a critical stage in the second half. Trey's making strides very quickly. I thought he and Oscar again. Yeah, I thought Oscar in the second half had a big stretch for us. Obviously, Wink, you know, having different guys that can step up at different times is very helpful. Always when you go on the road, you're not sure. And I thought the first half we kind of a little tentative, kind of waiting to see what it was going to be like. And I thought in the second half they really came out and played like they need to, much more aggressive on our defensive boards. First half we were, you know, and when we did force tough shots, they were getting second shots. So that second half we rebounded the ball much better and competed, put bodies on them a little bit more. That's a big team. That's a real big team. When you get those big guys in there.
Yeah, I mean, this is a good game. You know, it's my first time, you know, in El Paso. So, you know, every time I come to Texas, you know, I get a win. And, you know, tonight, you know, this is going to be the major test for our team. And I think tonight, you know, a lot of guys stepped up and we kept our composure and we was able to pull out a win. You know, me, Nene, and Joe, and Mo, you know, we just told everybody, you know, we took their best punch, you know, in the first half. You know, we was only down by 3, but, you know, when they went up by 13, man, we still got a whole nother half and a lot of game to go. So, you know, we just told everybody, you know, we got to get some stops and hit some shots. Yeah, I had to, you know, my teammates, you know, every time after halftime, you know, my team always tell me, you know, it's your time in the second half. And, you know, I just had to be more aggressive than I was in the first half, but still make plays. And, you know, second half, you know, I was able to make some plays and, unfortunately, you know, hit some shots.
Got it. I mean, that was the tempo that rised everything up. I mean, got us going and defensively and offensively, just kept it going, kept pushing.
Yeah, no panic. I actually was down 13. You know, I felt I had to be more aggressive. And, you know, I took one deep three and that went in. And, you know, I just tried to go to the hole. And if I didn't have it, you know, I wanted to kick from one of my teammates. So that was a tough challenge. And we stepped up to the plate. Oh, it's great. You know, I got in his ear in the halftime because I felt he wasn't aggressive enough in the first half. Because, you know, we all look up to him and rely on him for his scoring or his leadership. And I just felt like he wasn't aggressive enough and got in his ear a little bit. And second half, he really got into it. Yeah, it felt good. You know, it felt good for me because normally, you know, I want to penetrate and kick and get my teammates open shots. But we looked a little sluggish in the first half, so I felt I had to be aggressive. And, you know, that's what I did. Yeah, you know, it doesn't matter, you know, because I'm about the team. But I do want to start, you know, and I feel more comfortable starting, you know, just to get a little sweat and stay in your rhythm. But at the same time, O was a good player. And, you know, me and him got each other back or whatever coach decided. And we just, you know, want to get this team to a win.
All right, well, I guess we'll just continue to expand on this backcourt topic because it's pretty much a big story tonight. And let's talk about Trevon Willis again or a little bit before getting to the kingpin, Wink Adams. But Willis had 17 points, 4 of 9 shooting, 2 of 3 from deep, 7 of 9 at the line, 6 rebounds, only 1 assist, but only 1 turnover. A very steady night for Trevon, and he really showed that length. On the defensive end, too, he was a bother for those UTEP guards. You really can't find a lot that he didn't do right tonight, and this with a shoulder that was, in his words, not ours, at 72%. We asked him straight up for a percentage.
It does not get better than that. You hit the best thing, Ryan, is that between those two guys, they had 2 turnovers between them. There was some shaky play by UNLV in the first half. They had 10 turnovers, but they whittled that and were much more patient in the second half. They only had 6 turnovers. And it was largely because of those two guys taking care of the ball. And Trevon was, that was his most splendid game as a Rebel, no doubt. And it's only going to boost his confidence with that 72%. Maybe it'll be 76% by Cal on Friday, but that was an interesting story. We stopped him after the game. The other night, he told me that his shoulder was at 65%. He had a slightly separated shoulder that he injured about a week and a half
against
ago.
Against Northern Arizona, right?
Yeah, and it wasn't the first time it happened. It had happened in his past, and he said it was about 65%. And then on the heels of that, Kruger started him for the first time last game. So we pressed him tonight, asked him where it was tonight, and what did he say again?
Without hesitation, 72%.
And what was his reasoning?
I said, "How do? Just out of curiosity, how do you get to 72% of all numbers?" He goes, 7 plus 65, 7 better than 65, 72. That was about it.
That's a guy who knows his body. It was 7% better.
There was really no reason to ask him anymore because I obviously wasn't going to stump the Schwab in that situation.
And he didn't laugh or anything. He meant it.
Yeah.
It wasn't 8 and it wasn't 6.
It was 7. You better believe it. It was... it was very interesting. He's a character, to say the least. And, you know, we mentioned the point guard situation. He got the start for the second game in a row. And, you know, between he and Oscar tonight, you know, Trey gets the start, goes 26 minutes, Oscar goes 24. Saturday, Trey gets the start, goes 26 minutes, Oscar goes 23. Mm-hmm. And that kind of all falls in line with where we're seeing. You mentioned, you know, you wrote today about yesterday about the audition period being over.
Right.
And we're seeing the fruits of it right now as we're seeing a rotation that's been set. So I guess run down this rotation as it looks like it's going to be for at least the time being.
Well, especially on the road, too, where it is difficult. You can count on probably few minutes for Kendall Wallace. You can count on him probably getting a chance and probably getting a few minutes to see what he can do. He came through with a big three-pointer tonight. He also got fouled on another, hit all three free throws. To be absolutely quite frank and honest, it would be probably a luxury if he were to lose that deer in the headlights look. It's still there. It was very prevalent last year, and he seems out of place. Whether that goes away with time, with a bushel of three-pointers, remains to be seen. But
you know, really, really quick on that, it seems like when he, in those games at home, when he got the ball in his hands, he was a little quicker to put it on the floor. And you know, tonight, you know, when that ball was in his hands, he just wanted to get it out of there. It seemed like
the hot potato. Yeah. Yep. Well, let's face it, too. Those first four games were against lesser foes. This was a tough game on the road. You know, it'll be interesting to see what he does and how many minutes he gets this weekend in the games Friday and Saturday. But going back to the rotation, I think it's pretty obvious that the seniors, Joe Darger, Wink Adams, Rene Rougeau, they are mainstays in the front five. We've seen that between Trayvon Willis and Oscar Belfield, Kruger, depending on matchups, depending on who's coming up, smaller guard, big guard, he'll flip-flop them game to game probably.
Yeah.
You know, we will put Trayvon Willis in our advanced box as the starter, and he'll go with Belfield. He'll do that two games in a row, and then so that will probably come and go, and we'll see that fluctuate throughout the season. Darius Santee, I think, is absolutely established himself as the starting center. Okay, he's a power forward, but he plays a center and plays against centers on the other team. So it's between Willis and Belfield. Whoever doesn't start is obviously going to be spelling the other one. So you can look at the point guard there. That's where your 40 minutes plus is going to go. Wink Adams, what can we say about Wink? We haven't even talked about him too much tonight, but he improved to 5-0 in Texas. He's a Houston native. He adores coming to Texas and winning and telling people who his friends and family from Houston who watched the game. He called them right afterward to brag, here, hey, I'm in Texas again, can't lose here. He had 6 assists, 5 steals, 4 turnovers, but the ball was in his hands a lot, and he had to create, and it was up to him a lot to get in the lane and do something. Yeah,
6 rebounds.
And he was just steely-spined as usual. He played 37 minutes tonight, so you can count on him probably good for 34, 35 a game. Mm-hmm. That's where Kendall Wallace's minutes will come, and it's up to him to prove that he deserves more.
Yeah.
Joe Darger, power forward. You're going to have Mo Rutledge coming in. And once again, Mo produces. He hits a three-point shot, grabs a couple rebounds. And from there, you're going to have Bryce Masamba and Biaz Hamga spelling Santee. And between those three, you have a three-headed center. You have 15 fouls to give. Santee's tough down low. He obviously deserves to start. And between Bryce and Biaz, we'll just see what happens with them and see what they can learn this season and maybe contribute as freshmen.
Yeah, that's a pretty good rundown of the rotation as it is. And it looks like the two guys, at least for the time being, I don't want to say odd men out, but the guys who are going to really have to fight for more, to get off the bench. And it maybe goes less for Biaz Hamga because, I mean, when the big guy's getting foul trouble, he's obviously the next choice.
Right.
And he did play 2 minutes at the end of the first half, which were pretty big because both guys were in foul trouble. And, you know, Lon Kruger obviously didn't want to risk any more fouls with those two before the half. Deshaun Mitchell didn't get the warm-ups off tonight, and it seems like he might have a little ways to go before he gets a crack in that regular rotation.
I think we're going to see him. You know, if they can forge a lead of 14, 15, 16, 18 points in the first half in some of these upcoming games or this season,
defensively.
You can trust him defensively. His shot needs some work. My point of being up in some of these games, that's going to allow you to get him in there and flash some of excitement. We've seen him throw down 3-4 dunks, and that's where he is electric at finishing. Between his defense and finishing, those are his pluses. Can he get in there and experiment with some of those mid-range jumpers? That would be a key for him. Mm-hmm. And if they can get leads of 20 points, 15 points, and experiment a little, then we'll see more of Mitchell.
Well, to sort of wrap things up tonight, let's talk some more about Wink. I guess saving this would be our grand finale of sorts, because he was without a doubt the guy that offensively closed this game out tonight. He played the role of closer. He showed that instinct to just finish a game out at the end. We mentioned the 6 rebounds, 6 assists, and 5 steals, but there were also the 20 points.
Yep.
16 of them coming after the half, including after missing on his first 6 three-point tries, hits a big one at the end when it looked like defensively UTEP, for some reason, it really didn't look like they were respecting the fact that he could close out a game.
They were daring him. They were daring him. And you know what? They should have dared him more, I think. I think they could have gotten away with actually playing more of a zone and daring UNLV to hit more threes, because UNLV hasn't been shooting well. In fact, they shot 38% tonight. But that was only 27% in the first half. Arnett Moultrie, their 6'11 forward, on that pivotal shot, he was on Wink on the left side, and it was almost a case of, as soon as Wink got the ball, Arnett backed off. You could see him taking a couple steps off, because Wink was so powerful on the drive today. You could almost tell or sense that Arnett wanted to watch that drive, wanted to guard the basket, and here comes Wink. Wink sensed that, and he took about a second or two to size up the situation. Rene Rougeau told me that he knew it was coming. Arnett was way too far off him. He was daring him, and Wink was going to take the challenge and hit it, and that's what Wink did, and that was a very, very big play. But, you know, something else happened tonight, too. UNLV hit at least half of the shots it took in both halves. That's the second time in 5 games this season that they've done that. That happened only 3 times all of last season. So maybe these guys, the whole storyline has been that they have to get chemistry. Maybe they're getting it. Maybe they're getting it quick. And maybe there's some really good things to come. They woke up this morning and were not in the rankings, and I think that was a good thing.
Yep.
Because they didn't have breakfast and fatten up their heads on thoughts of March, when it's barely even, not even December.
It's not even winter.
So, right. So, you know, that's to come, and with more solid play, they'll get their just deserved or rewards.
You know, and I think a big part of that 50% plus in each half, their shot selection tonight was pretty good. You know, I can remember one shot in that game, just off the top of my head, and this game is still pretty fresh in our minds. I can remember one UNLV shot where I really scratched my head and thought, why'd you take that? And that was Willis's first 3-point try, where he was a little far out, and they were at that point in the game a little reluctant to go inside and mix things up. And he fired off a 3 that was about 3-4 feet behind the line, which right. Kruger has really been trying to get them to not do.
Yep.
He didn't get great lift off the ground. It was just a flat shot from go, and it wound up catching nothing.
Yep.
But that was really the only shot the entire game where I thought they weren't in rhythm, they weren't working for the best shot.
Yep.
Every other trip down the floor, they basically took the best shot they could get.
Stephon Jackson, UTEP's hot shot guard, who, what did he have, 14 points in the first half?
Yeah.
He 0 for 6 in the second half?
Yep.
He went 0 for 6 largely because of Adams and Belfield just hounding him relentlessly and just getting up in him and getting a body up in him and just making him work. He told me afterward that he was very impressed with how UNLV was patient and working it, and he said that's a veteran club. And when he said they're a veteran club, he meant Belfield and Willis also. So that's a big tip of the hat to those two guys.
Yeah, and the shots that Jackson was hitting in the first half, they were tough shots.
Oh, he was.
Crazy. He hit two hoop and harm jumpers, missed the free throws to go with both of them. But, that goes along with the theme for the rest of the minors tonight, 16-27 from the line. Don Haskins probably would not have approved, but, that UTEP team, they've got some talent, they've got some promise, but they maybe did not have the, experience to hold off a team like UNLV even after getting that big lead.
Yeah, and they were a little careless and maybe a little too selfish.
And as far as that goes, there's going to be one play that sticks out in my mind. And we didn't talk about this run when we were talking about Trevon Willis. He was a big spark in that 12-2 first half run when they were down 13. And the first bucket that he scored on that drive, which was on that run, was the second bucket of the run. It was after a Santee layup between two defenders. But, you know, Randy Culpepper shot right back down the floor for UTEP, got a lay-in. Too many fist pumps. He was pumping his fists and celebrating. Willis sees this, gets the inbounds pass, and just shot off down the floor. Culpepper, who I think in a 40-yard dash race is probably faster than Willis, couldn't catch him. He was slacking, had to make up for it. Willis, in turn, goes down coast to coast, then hits a three after that, and that got the run going.
You know, that was very similar to a play a few games ago when Deshaun Mitchell went in, had a highlight play, and was just about to spread his arms out like an airplane and dance a little and frolic, and Mo Rutledge hit him in the back real quick and said, son, you got to play some defense. Yep. The flip side tonight was for UTEP, it didn't seem like there was anybody there to hit him in the back and say, hey, listen, let's stop that. We got to play defense. In fact, there was Matador defense.
There was only one senior suited up for the minors. They had one senior and one junior suited up. Everybody else, sophomores and freshmen. It's a young team, young coach. They got a little ways to go. But I guess maybe don't be surprised if you see them do some damage in CUSA this year.
We will see about that. You know, you don't get ready for, you know, tough games by playing Georgia Southern and Texas Southern.
Exactly.
And that kind of made them, they kind of fell on their face without the right preparation.
Yeah. Well, next up for UNLV, like we said, California on Friday at the Thomas and Mack Center, and then either Florida State or Cincinnati on Saturday. Let's talk about this a little bit. I guess we're not going to say elite competition, but these are, as I like to call them, name brand programs that add some credibility to a preseason schedule. What do you make of this coming up this weekend? I would think that coming away with a road win and going into Thanksgiving with a little pop in your step could do nothing but good for the guys.
I think so. Cal will be a little bit interesting. I mean, Mike Montgomery, the longtime Stanford coach, has taken over there. So
good coach.
He's a very good coach, and obviously he needs a couple seasons to get his program into place and get, you know, his kids into place and get it all rolling. In the meantime, he came up with a gem up at Finley College Prep with Jorge Gutierrez. He is going to be his reserve point guard. We're going to see Jorge play, and then we're going to see another Finley product, hopefully on Saturday, in Florida State's Davidis Dulkes. He is a kid who has kangaroo hops, so between him and Mitchell, I wonder who can jump higher. That would be a great battle. Cincinnati would be a great marquee name, too, but I would rather see Florida State for the sole fact of
seeing Dulkes.
Seeing two former Finley Prep kids go against UNLV. That would be fun.
Well, Thanksgiving's on Thursday. Before we get out of here, what are you thankful for this year, Rob Mish?
I am thankful for working with a partner who has such experience and deftness as you do.
Wow. Come on. You going to throw that much sarcasm at me?
I'm serious.
I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Well, I will throw my thanks back to you then.
Well, I'm sure you will.
It is a pleasure so far, and it's going to be fun the rest of the way this season. And I'm also thankful for Xbox 360. I might as well throw that out there, too. But no, I'm going to be spending it with my family. I'm thankful for that as well. So in case any of them heard this, I'm thankful. Any final comments before we get out of here?
Let's get out of El Paso.
All right. We couldn't do it soon enough. For Rob Mish, I'm Ryan Green. We will talk to you next Friday night. UNLV Cal post game.
Unless we go to Juarez.
And don't come back. Right. You never know. It is El Paso. We'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.